Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
I always find it interesting that when I preach on a certain subject, and I hope it works for you as well, that when you're talking about the things of God, those things that we're talking about actually begin to resound in your own life and in your own spirit. So over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the peace of God and how that operates in our hearts. You know, the book of Galatians said, and now let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and the Amplified says, like an umpire. The peace of God rule in your heart, govern your heart, determine in your heart, direct your heart. And I know that in my life, when I'm preaching a sermon, it's as good for me as it is for anyone else. Because God usually gives it for me. Sometimes it's just for me. Sometimes he says, now what you've got, you share with others. And I really love that about the Lord, that what we're teaching about, what we're looking at, should be applicable in our day-to-day living. Amen? I had the immense joy, the immense thrill, the amazing challenge, and who likes challenges of life, for the first time ever in 61 years of being on planet Earth, of conducting a funeral service for a baby that died at 2 days of age. Talk about challenge. I've done teenagers, I've done young adults, I've done older people, mixed and matched. I get a phone call. Can I conduct a graveside service in just a small family group for a baby who's died at the age of 2 days? God. My first cry, God. Mr. Google couldn't even help me. I'm a researcher. I've never conducted a child's funeral service. Suddenly what I'm teaching about the peace of God comes back into me. Suddenly, yeah. God says, I'm with you in this. I did some research. I rang with some friends. You know how you do it? You go to Mr. Google. You look up your research books. You get desperate. You phone a friend and say, I don't know how to do this. Can you help me? And I really didn't get much help at all. To add to it all, we've got our granddaughters staying with us. We're celebrating the life that's in them. We're celebrating the excitement, the joy of them knowing us and us knowing them, and school holiday fun and all that sort of thing. And I've got to get myself ready, not just in, attire, but also in my mind and my heart. And I'm lost. I'll be quite honest with you. I'm lost. I'm saying, God, what do you want me to do? Port Elliot Cemetery. Driving up there. God, give me direction. I've got some notes. I've got some thoughts. I've got some ideas. But I'm really seeking the Holy Spirit. Arrive at the cemetery. Mum and Dad have already got 5 other children. Gathered there with her parents and his parents and a couple of aunts and uncles. A couple of cousins. And the mother's detached herself. She's like looking at anywhere but where this tiny little coffin is. 38-year-old dad, tears, big tough Aussie male, tears running down his eyes. He's putting his sunglasses on and he's wiping the tears and trying to act tough, and he's torn. It gets to 11 o'clock. We look at the dad and we say, would you like to place your baby daughter on the grave? I know that there's some here that have lost children. I know there's some here that have had to bury children. I've never experienced it like that firsthand. Knowing the peace of God at that same instant. Say, God, you've got to be with me in this. As I begin to open my mouth, I feel Holy Spirit just take control, and my first words were these. I don't know how you can stand strong on a day like this. Because as a father and a grandfather, I've never had to experience what you're experiencing. But I'm going to do my best today to be strong with you. Please excuse me if I get emotional. The dad breaks out crying. Great start. But we got through. I was able to talk to them about the love of God that goes beyond the grave. That this little one now rests in the arms of Jesus. That there's no disputing. There's no argument. That the dear, innocent little child is now at peace with the creator of her life. A lot of tears. Very few words. Lay this little casket to rest. Mother comes over and she hugs me. Now, previous to this, it's been like, don't come near me, don't touch me, don't talk to me. Both in the initial phone contact, the interview process, and so far in the service. And she doesn't want to let me go. She said, I can't believe the peace I've just experienced during this service. Of all words she could have chosen, she chooses this word, peace. I go, thank you, God. She goes, pardon? But I just said thank you to God because I was seeking His peace for me and for you during this time. So we're going to open our Bibles again this morning at the book of John, chapter 15. I hope you don't mind me sharing that. That's the reality of when God gives a word to us, it's not just for a Sunday word. That was a great message. And a week later go, what did he preach on? The word of God is meant to be active. And as Trudy's already said, at work within us. Not sitting idle, not sitting, you know, on standby, but at work. How often does it come at work? 24/7. There should not be a moment go by in our lives where the Word of God is not doing something within us. It may be bringing strength. It may be bringing healing. It may be in a place of restoration. It may be bringing wisdom or knowledge into your life. It may be that flood of peace that you're seeking. It may be an understanding that you need, a revelation, a word for somebody else, the words to pray over somebody else. But when you understand what the peace of God is like, then you can operate in it. Amen? So the book of John, hallelujah, Jesus getting ready, as we said last week, getting ready for his arrest, getting ready for his trial. Getting ready for his hanging on the cross. Getting ready for his laying of his body in the tomb. But most importantly, getting ready to come back alive. The power of death and sin defeated. Amen? I'm going to read from verse 25 through to 31, and then I'm just going to pick up where we left off last week and continue on this message. Interesting words of Jesus, particularly in verse 27. Let's begin reading in verse 25, though. Sorry, John 14. John 14. Sorry, Robin. Did I? Sorry. I knew where I was going. 14. My apologies. I'm human. I make mistakes. Still. Amen, says Pastor Robin, even though she's in the other room. She would have heard that. She would have. I heard you. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 25 through to 31. These words I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Powerful, powerful words in this verse 27. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. How many ever troubled have a troubled heart? You've been troubled in your heart? Come on, let's be honest. Our hearts get troubled, we get stirred up, don't we? Things happen. You know, I quite often use the illustration that one phone call can ruin your whole day. Run one phone call, one letter, one window-faced envelope that you're not expecting can cause trouble. You're not expecting a bill, and you see that window-faced envelope, and you go, what's in it now? Jesus knows what's going to happen in our lives. And I love the words he uses. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be dismayed, afraid, fearful, full of fear. How easy when something gets in here distracts us. But Jesus here in this passage is preparing us in the midst of the stuff that he's going through. He's saying, if I can do it and I can hand my peace on to you, then you can do it also. Amen? So let's read on in this passage. You've heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me the commandment, so I do. Arise. Let's go from here. Those three key verses in verse 27, the second part of verse 28, and the verse in 29, he talks about three things. He talks about peace, he talks about joy, and he talks about faith. Last week we discussed the scenario that Jesus is in the middle of preparing himself for the crisis. He's preparing himself for what's going to happen, not just in his world, but the world that he's impacted. Messiah himself, the Savior of the world, the one that the Jewish people have been waiting for, is knowingly getting ready for what's about to come, and his disciples, his closest ones, really haven't got it yet. In actual fact, right in the middle of the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was being arrested, Peter still hoped he could save the day by pulling out his sword and trying to save his beloved Jesus. Jesus knew he had to die on that cross. Jesus knew what was ahead of him. But more than being concerned about himself, he concerns himself about the followers that are there with him and the followers to come. Us. And he talks about those three things: peace, joy, and faith. Last week we just touched on those passages. I want us to just pick up there now, and I want to pick up from the reverse, from faith to joy to peace. Verse 29, he said, and now I've told you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. When it comes to pass, you may believe. When I'm hanging on that cross with nails in my feet and my hands, when the blood's running from my wound, when my face is unrecognizable, have faith. To picture yourself in that scenario right now. The Jesus you've hung around with, the Jesus you've literally worshipped at his feet, the Jesus you've witnessed do signs, wonders, and miracles, the Jesus you've eaten with, I know he said ate with, eaten with, journeyed with, accommodated with, the Jesus you've seen show such compassion yet such strength. And he said, here I go. Are you ready? And when you see me hanging on that cross, of faith. When you see that body taken, my body taken from the cross and taken away to be laid in a tomb, and that stone rolled across the entrance of faith, what would you be like? The centurion's spear goes into his side and blood and water rush out. He's declared dead by Jesus, Savior of the world, Messiah. Jesus says here to the disciples, have faith. Believe. You have Holy Spirit with you, and He'll remind you. We discussed last week that it already said that Judas was going to betray him. We looked at scriptures like we find in Acts chapter 4, verse 27 and 28, where he says, my Father is in charge. John 3:35, and by His command I am in charge. John 10:18, nobody takes my life from me. And then going backwards to verse 28, Jesus says these words, you have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. I'm going away from you, but I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, but my Father is greater than I. Here's the argument. The Father is greater than I, which has two meanings. Number one is that the Father, during the incarnation, is greater in glory and more exalted because Jesus has humbled himself to serve but also to suffer. The other meaning is that for all eternity, from the beginning, the Father has been one, the one who begets the Son, the one who eternally stands forth in a perfect image and radiance of himself. God's image, God's nature, God's character is in an exact imprint in his Son. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Can I take it one step further? If you've heard me, you've heard my Father. If you've observed me, you've observed my Father. And now, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves, we carry Jesus in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. What sort of carrier are you today? Are you a Jesus carrier? Are you aware during your walk, during your day, during your week, that greater is he that lies within you? And when your heart is troubled, when your mind is confused, when your body begins to get weak, do you remind yourself that greater is he that is in me? Because if Jesus is in you, then the very character, the very nature of God himself abides within you. Poor Christians, I feel sorry for them. Look at them. Weak, feeble little followers of Jesus. Giving all their money to the church. Believing that Jesus is going to come back one day and be with them forever. Believing they can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Thank you for that testimony this morning. Poor Christians. Poor non-Christians, I might say this morning. Greater is he that's in me. Not glory to me, but glory to him, because I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. The full radiance of God himself, the full radiance, now abides in you. The same anointing that left heaven in the form of Jesus through Mother Mary, who walked earth and became the very presence of God on earth, the Word become flesh, John chapter 1. And he now passes his anointing on to those who are about to follow, the true believers on his Word. The full anointing of heaven came from heaven to earth through Jesus, and Jesus passes that on to us. I'm so glad. I'm in that joy mode that Jesus talks about here. I'm glad that Jesus died. Because if he hadn't died, he wouldn't have been able to come back to life, and he wouldn't be able to take those keys to life and death. He wouldn't be the ruler. Amen? And when I accepted him in his fullness. And his fullness, friends, is still being imparted to me, and I hope it continues to do so until the day he returns. Now, which would you prefer? Your joy or his joy? You ever had a joyful day? We had to laugh yesterday. We had planned to take our granddaughters just for a game of mini golf, just as a last holiday treat yesterday afternoon. Anyone notice it was a tad windy yesterday? It was all right. They're kids. They can have fun. So we just said, and we've got this surprise. We're just going to go and play mini golf and be fun and da-da-da. So we pull up in the car park and we're heading towards the causeway, and the kids spot the sideshows. Is this where we're going? We're going on the rides. We're going da-da-da-da. And Pastor Robin goes, no, we're going to mini golf. Oh, boy. You think I'm joking? Oh boy, got the body language. We've been there before. I said, not with us, you haven't. Daddy's taking us there, and we find it boring. Ever been there? Yes, you have. So over we go to the sideshows. We said, oh, holiday treat, couple of rides, camel ride. So do the whizzy thing, whatever it's called, Sizzler. Is it called Sizzler? That fast spinning thing, because Grandpa's got to go on it. I love those rides. That was all right, and we're on to the next thing. They had three rides each. I'll cut the story short. But Amelia, the little one, had one more ride than the 8-year-old. So the 8-year-old says, well, Grandpa, I've got one more ride coming. Sorry, they'd had two rides each. One had had one more meal. Can I go back on Sizzler by myself? Sure. Little one. Worst day ever. Hello? I'm following, opening up my empty wallet, Mel, and saying, worst day ever. I say that because Jesus said, let your joy be my joy. Joy on planet Earth is so temporal. It's so fixed. It's so time limited. And what seems joyful when we're flying around on Sizzler screaming like girls, I wasn't, Josh, just in case you're laughing at me. I did hang on pretty tight though. My head doesn't do that sort of thing well. Joy lasted until ride number 3 is finished for everyone. And one of the girls said, but I wanted 4 rides. Well, dig into your pocket, see how much money you've got. Jesus said about his joy. He's going away, he's going to be with the Father, and he wants us to know his joy about what's going to happen. It says in John 14 and verse 28, if you loved me, you would rejoice. Hang on, Jesus. You're going to that cross. I'm not going to see you anymore. And then he says, because I'm going to the Father. Well, that makes it worse. That means you're going from here to there. Hello, not too many people come back from there. My natural mind says that. I know people that have been declared dead and come back to life. But in their disciples' minds, we're not talking modern science here. We're not talking recorded stuff. We're talking about Jesus talking one-on-one with his disciples. Rejoice, I'm going home to be with Dad. Well, that's all right for you, Jesus. Worst day ever. You're only thinking like they think. I had a good example yesterday. So our joy is not the joy of the world. Our foundation of joy, I'll stand for my foot then. don't do that. Our joy is the joy of being a Christ follower. Amen? That's where our joy comes from. That I'm the apple of my Father's eye. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because of Jesus. When I lay hands on the sick, I expect them to recover. Amen? Because that's where my joy comes from. I'm no longer of this world. I might live in it, but I'm not of it. I'm an alien, Dave. I'm passing through. It's not my home. I'm a resident of the kingdom of God. And that's where my joy comes from. Stuff can be happening all around. You only have to watch the news for 5 minutes. My goodness, joy. Not. Worst day ever. Then tomorrow will be worse. But doesn't it lead to the fact that Jesus is getting ready to come back? That he predicted that things would go from worst day ever to worst day ever to worst day ever. And then he said, Dad, it's time. And the Father says, go, son. Jesus showed us that this love between the Father and himself is based on Jesus going to the cross. Look at verse 31 in your scripture this morning. Verse 31. I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. I'm not doing this for my sake. I'm not doing this for my glory. I'm not doing this so the church can grow. I'm not doing this so my ministry can grow. I'm not doing this so I can get this miracle offering. I'm doing this because my Father commanded me. And as a result of that the world may know that I love the Father. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Follows on so well, doesn't it? The joy that was set before him, seeing you and I here today, would add joy to his life. And he endured the cross with joy in him. Hebrews 12, 2, that was. Well done. I was watching. And because of the joy that Jesus had set before him, my righteousness, my forgiveness, my acceptance, my whole life utterly depended on his attitude being right to go to the cross. That's why he had joy. Because he knew as the outworking of what he was about to endure would bring peace, would bring joy, would bring faith to the world. Amen? So let's look at this word. Matthew 14. Verse 27. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. The Greek word there is enronyai. It literally means to be one, to be set at one again, to endure perfect peace and quietness together. It reflects the Hebrew word shalom, which is a Hebrew greeting, shalom, shalom, wholeness, completeness, with nothing missing and nothing broken. But in this sense, Jesus' peace, with a sense of wholeness, gives us a sense of what the King's kingdom is like. If you look at John chapter 14 and verse 1, he starts off this passage. John 14 and verse 1. Because he knows it's our heart that gets troubled. He knows that it's something inside of us that God's created that can be brought into a place of rest or taken to a place of being troubled. The Amplified Bible says it this way: do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. I looked at that word the other night, agitated, and I thought, wow, that reminds me of a washing machine. My wife's just got a new front-loading washing machine. And you can see in the screen, the Perspex glass, the clothes being agitated. And it was such a description to me of what it's like when trouble comes. Sometimes we don't know where to turn. We're drawn to go to that way or drawn to go to that way, and we need to phone that one or we need to seek the guidance of that one. And we can't sleep, we can't eat, we lose weight. You know, we just can't stay strong. It says here, do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in and adhere to and trust in God and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust and rely also on me. And he begins to unfold that story that we're in right now. It's interesting that he clarifies this word peace in here. He's not talking about the heart peace that the world can give, the peace of mind, if you like, based on good or ideal circumstances. And it's not the peace of good circumstances, it's the peace of God himself. How does the world take our troubles away? Health insurance, retirement accounts, flood protection, bomb shelters, labour-saving devices, better police force. The world can give you a sense of peace, but it's only in your mind, it's only temporary. Jesus says these words, I love when you read the words of Jesus, how clear it becomes. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Not as the world, like, get your mind off worldly thinking, he's saying. He's saying to us just as much as he said to the disciples. Get your mind off worldly thinking. Be not conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed, it says in Romans, by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. That's what Jesus is saying here. The peace that Christ gives, he calls my peace. He especially designs it to give us his peace. How can he do that? He's about to pay the price with his own blood. He's about to purchase that peace on your behalf by substituting himself for your sin. And he's been appointed it from God himself into his heart, and it's under his authority now to give it to us. I love it. The peace that God gives us through Jesus, the world cannot give at all. And what he gives is neither unwilling, it's not sparingly, it's not even a little at a time. He says, here it is, Pam. You want peace? Have my peace. Mark, you want peace? Have my peace. Tim, you want peace? Have my peace. He just doesn't, you know, deal out a little bit to some of us. He says, you want it? It's yours. Come with me quickly to the book of Psalms, Psalms 81. I just want you to see and hear that God's heart has always been towards us. The great God we've sung about, the awesome God we sing about. 81. It's always been about us. And then we get on the bandwagon, it all becomes about us. But God says it's not about you, it's for you, but to put it back onto me. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. Amen? Our God. He's our God. He's your God. He's my God. Let's read the first few verses of Psalm 81 together. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song. Sound the timbrel, the sweet lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, on our feast day. For this is a statute for Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph the Saviour, that's what Joseph means, the Saviour, for a testimony when he went out over the land of Egypt. The speech of one whom I know, did not I hear? Verse 6, I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were freed from the basket. You called in distress, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Selah. Pause and calmly think of that. Verse 8, hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you would listen to me. There shall be no strange God be among you, neither shall you worship any alien God. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Does that mean he's just going to pass pizza down your mouth? He wants us to sing, as it says in verse 1. He wants us to shout aloud the goodness of who he is. Like the children of Israel, when they were going through it, they didn't stop praising God. But they did for a season, and another season, and another season. But they kept coming back to God. And God's heart was for them to come to him. Jesus says in this passage back in John 14, the prince of the world comes and he has no power over me. Can I have the communion stewards come forward now? Excuse me. And just distribute the emblems as we finish. The prince of this world is about to make his last and most violent attack on the Son of God. The devil thinks this is going to take Jesus out. The devil thinks that this is going to take the equation back to the fact that he's going to rule and reign forever. The devil literally is surmounting all hell against the Savior of the world. Can you imagine the excitement that's around during this time? That when they arrest Jesus, when they find him guilty, when the death sentence is pronounced over him, not only is the world shouting hallelujah, but the religious are saying, yes, we've got rid of another one. Yes, we can now go back and be in charge. You see, the war is not really just between heaven and hell. Religion sneaks its way in there and it tries to take control of what God wants to do through people just like us. I love the scripture which says, and God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Hello, I'm here. If he can use a donkey to speak, he can use someone like me. Amen? And so there I am on Thursday morning. The family leaves the cemetery. And I turn to the funeral director and her assistant. I say, give me a debrief on that. Tell me how that went. They both look at me and they go, I'm glad you were doing it, not us. You messed us up. But we heard about that piece that the mother talked about to you afterwards. Mark, the young guy there who's a Christian, said to me, Lou, he said, you've got such confidence in your God. I wished I had that confidence. The funeral assistant in charge that day, who used to come here many years ago, says to me, I should be of that level of faith now too. but I'm not. So we spend the next 10 minutes talking about what God had done in me just that morning, just on that drive. I didn't stay awake all night, tossing and turning, wondering what I'm going to say. I slept like a baby. Got up, I sought the Lord. I drove with peace in my heart, knowing that Holy Spirit was with me on that journey. Do you know what? Without my Jesus having the confidence to go to the cross, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. For the peace that he had in his own heart and was prepared to pass on to fellow believers like you and I, to carry us through. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it get agitated. Don't get distraught. Don't get distracted. Jesus knew about this. He knew that it would be his body, not yours, not mine, beaten, bruised, scourged, spat on, knocked around, bearing that wooden cross. He knew that it was his body that was going to hang on that wooden cross. He knew it was his body that was going to be speared through the side. He knew that it was his body that was going to be taken down and placed in that borrowed tomb. He knew it was his blood that was going to be shed. He knew that it was his body sacrifice. He knew that it was his blood that was going to make you whole. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be dismayed. How often we need those verses to come up and arise within us. It's simple, isn't it? My grandchildren asked during the holidays when we were down here, what do you do with those biscuits, Grandpa? What do you do with those little cups, Grandpa? So I took them out and I witnessed Jesus to my grandson. This is why we do this. Because Jesus, his name's up there. A little Sunday school lesson, if you like, on a Wednesday. Shared the love of God. For me, but for him. Nothing too deep, didn't do a 40-minute sermon. Tried hard, wasn't going to work. But literally, had the bread in my hand, the cup in my hand. This is why we do it. As Jesus died, so we can live better. I'd like you to stand, if you're able, with me as we pray over these emblems, receive them into our bodies. I know God's at work in this house. I know God's at work in your hearts. And these messages are not just so I got a message to preach. I believe with all my heart that this message this morning is going to pop up in your spirit sometime in the next few days. When that front-loading washing machine begins to agitate about there. To say, Jesus, give me your peace. I'm going to say, I've already given it to you. Take hold of it and apply it. Walk in it, grow in it, share it. And all hell breaks loose around you. You should be walking on the water, far above all earthly realms. Let's be honest, some days we are, some days we aren't. But I believe a revelation like we've had this morning out of John chapter 14. Peace, joy, and faith. Knowing God's peace brings joy in your heart. And when joy rules in your heart like an umpire, peace rules in your heart like an umpire. The joy that follows gives you the faith to face whatever is around you. Greater is He that is in you. He's in you. And He is in the world. My body, your body, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are anointed to do great things. You are anointed to do mighty things. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm going to be with my Father, and you should rejoice in that. Amen? Father God, we thank you for this bread that represents your body. We thank you, Jesus, for your obedience to your Father, that you gave up, you surrendered your own life. Nobody took it from you. You surrendered it for us. So that you go to the Father and glorify Him. Thank you for this precious blood that has redeemed us, that has paid the price of our sin. We thank you, Jesus, that this blood washes us white as snow. We are righteous in your eyes. We are holy, sanctified by the blood. We give you thanks now. We celebrate your coming. We know it's soon, Jesus. And if the Lord should tarry, we're prepared to wait in perfect peace, knowing that it's going to rule over our hearts like an umpire. That peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you for it right now. In Jesus' precious name. All God's children said, Amen. Amen. Let's eat.